This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
In a week where Alyssa Healy has ensured the match between the Mumbai Indians and the UP Warriors in the inaugural WPL has plenty of spice, this is Can't Bowl, Can't Throw.
So just a bizarre play, and I mean, Harmanpreet can say all she likes that it was so unlucky, but I mean, at the end of the day, she cruised back and probably could have been past the crease, you know, an extra 2 metres if she genuinely put in the effort, so we'll take it.
You're here with Dan Lipke and Kat Jones, and that was Alyssa Healy. She had opinions about Harmanpreet Kaur, who, and Alyssa Healy is the captain of the UP Warriors. That's Warriors with a Z, of course. That's very important to keep track of. And she was criticising the captain of the Mumbai Indians, Harmanpreet Kaur, for her running between the wickets in the Australia v India T20 World Cup semi-final.
It was a little bit slow. I mean, I don't think Harmanpreet would have ever made the South African women's team, for example.
No, definitely not. She would have been ruled out long before she even got there. And she was ill, though, so we had to cut her a little bit of slack.
I do think her back got stuck. I also think she wasn't stretching.
It could be two things, right?
Yeah.
Yes. Anyways, it was a massive turning point in the match. But yeah, as we mentioned in the opening, it will make things very interesting because they're off to the WPL pretty much straight away. The World Cup has ended. They're off ready to play in the WPL.
I can't wait. It's going to be absolutely fantastic. Yes. I love the IPL.
Mm.
The Women's Premier League is going to be even better.
Yes, indeed. So which team are we going to support in the WPL?
Well, let's go through the Australia. I suppose we're going to base this on the Australians.
Mostly, yeah.
I mean, not necessarily.
Yeah.
We're going to have a look at some of the internationals that are playing in each team. So the Gujarat Giants, the GGs, they have the $500,000 woman, yes. Ash Gardner.
Yep.
They have Beth Mooney. I mean, that's a good start.
That's a very good start. Chuck those two at the top of the order. You're halfway home, I reckon.
Yeah. Also Annabelle Sutherland, Deandra Dotton and Georgia Wareham.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's not a bad side.
That's pretty close to a winner for me. But we've also got the Royal Challengers Bangalore. They've got a slightly older group, perhaps, of internationals. Mm-hmm. They've got Elise Perry, Heather Knight, Danae Van Niekerk and Megan Shute.
Is that the veteran side?
The veterans. Can they all run 2 kilometres in less than 9 minutes?
Probably less than four minutes.
Yeah.
I forgot to mention that, of course, former Australian captain Rachel Haynes is also coaching the GGs.
Oh, yes. I forgot about that, yeah.
So that's important as well.
Yep.
Okay, so the team we just talked about before with Alyssa Healy, the UP or Lucknow, they come from the Warriors.
Yep.
Sophie Eggleston, Alyssa Healy captain, Shadnam Ismail and Tali McGrath and Grace Harris.
Yeah, that's a pretty good lineup, isn't it?
I think this is also my favourite team. I'm still tossing
up. You're going to have about 5 favourites five teams, right? We've also got the Delhi Capitals, which has Jemima Rodrigues, Meg Lenning, Shefali Verma, Marizan Kapp, Poonam Yadav and Jess Jonathan. So that's a lot of the favourite players. They seem to be spread around all the teams.
And the Mumbai Indians, everyone loves to hate the Mumbai Indians, right? Harmanpreet, Nat Siverbrunt, Amelia Kerr, Izzy Wong and Hayley Matthews and Chloe Tryon.
So lots of good teams there. I think I am sticking with the GGs. I'm going to go with the horsey team, the Gujarat Giants. So the Ash Gardner, Beth Mooney, get them in my team. Get Rachel Haynes coaching you. I don't see how you can lose.
This is the part of the show where we discuss the cricket news of the week. Bam, bam, bam.
Lots of stuff going on in the world of cricket. We just have time to cover the brilliant T20 Women's World Cup. That was so much fun in the wee hours of the morning for people in Australia.
Yes, it's a World Cups do require a lot of planning, right? They require, you know, months in advance. You've got to map everything out and check out the various scenarios. Not for the Australian women, of course. They just show up and steamroll the opposition and win another, chuck another trophy on their pile.
Yeah.
But for us, like, we had to plan this out and say, which games are we going to watch?
How early are we going to bed? Will we get up in the middle of the night? Will we stay up?
Yeah.
Lots of decisions to be made here. And also, in the end, though, Dan, was it a sprinting contest? It threatened to be one, right?
It threatened to be one. I mean, South Africa thought it was a sprinting contest. They showed up there with a team of speedsters. Just in case that it was changed to, you know, some kind of middle distance 2 kilometre race, they were ready to go. They had all their fast runners there. Meg Lanning and her team, how fast were they over 2 kilometres? We'll never find out because, sadly, the ICC stuck with cricket to determine the final.
That's right. Although there were a few, you know, sort of dashes for the boundary. In the final in particular, Lisa Perrier, I think covered at least 2 kilometres.
2 kilometres every over just about.
Exactly. So she was fielding everywhere and mostly knocking balls in off the boundary. They didn't make the boundary rope.
Yes. So just going through the match, Australia batted first. They reached 156 for 6 from their 20 overs. Beth Mooney was the kind of mainstay there. She finished on 74 not out from 53 balls. But that was 4 fewer than her 78 not out from 54 balls in the previous T20 World Cup final.
Okay.
Which means she is trending downwards, right?
And I presume you've projected this out.
I have, yeah. So at this rate of decline, Mooney will finish in about 19 tournaments' time. She'll be negative 2 not out off 34 balls.
Right.
And 19 tournaments' time, that's about 2026 according to the ICC schedule.
Yeah,
they churn them out.
They do churn them out.
So that's going to be a big problem at the top of the order for Australia. So hopefully they can sort Beth Mooney out, get her heading upwards again.
Yeah, exactly.
And Australia would have also been annoyed at the innings break that they didn't have enough they had runs on the board, but they hadn't really killed the game.
Like, no, it wasn't a dominant performance. No. It still kept like half a slither of hope there for South Africa. And they certainly did have some hope, but it really petered out pretty quickly. We could tell they weren't quite going to make it.
No, I think, the first 6 overs of the power play, they made like 22 runs. I was just like, not sure you guys are really going as hard as you might for this total.
After 6 overs of the power play, it was just too slow and I fell asleep.
Yes.
So come on, South Africa, keep us awake. Did they know the responsibility it was weighing on their shoulders?
Clearly not. I mean, this was about 1:30 a.m.
I missed an hour. I missed about half an hour in the middle of that and I woke up again. It's like, oh, there's 5 overs to go.
Yep. You woke up just in time for Laura Woolvart to get out, I think, because she was the key to the whole thing for South Africa. But they were so far behind after that power play that they didn't really have much of a chance.
Yeah.
I guess my other highlight while you were asleep was when things didn't quite go Australia's way at one point. There was a wide call down the leg side when Ash Gardner was bowling, and it had clearly come off, you know, the hip or the of the batter, and yet the umpire called wide, and you could hear the Australians go, "Oh, come on, what?"
Yeah. She hit it.
Yeah, and so they had a bit of a complaint about that, but wasn't overturned. Ash Gardner had to bowl a 7th ball in the over, but she then used that ball to get rid of Marizan Kapp. So I mean, even when things go bad for Australia, they go good.
Yeah. Yes, you have a slogan for that, I believe.
I do have a slogan. When life gives you weird wide calls, make wicket aid. That's not a great slogan, but it's what we've got there.
It's certainly something. It's certainly some kind of drink that the people were running wicket out aid onto the ground. Really, I mean, how many World Cups have Australia won now? I don't know. A couple of hundred.
Literally thousands. Yeah, you can't keep track anymore. It's although I would like to point out that my book, The 10 Greatest World Cup Wins in Australian Cricket, that's still valid because I'm not sure this one cracks the top 10. This is just Australia just meandering to another win.
Run-of-the-mill trophy for Australia.
Not top 10 material. Sorry, ladies. Try again next time.
Yeah.
You've got to be more dramatic and lose a few games along the way to make it interesting.
You've got to take 5 wickets in your final over in order to make it worthwhile.
We will come back to that. But yeah, I think in retrospect, South Africa should have definitely have pushed harder on that foot race idea.
Please support capitalism by checking out these sponsors.
And the ad today, is it another one of your products, Dan?
It is indeed, yes. It's my wasted review of cricket for 2022-23. So that's going to be out later this week in ebook form.
How on earth have you had time to write this? Dan's on this massive deadline where he's like cranking out about 5,000 words a day for some other book.
Yeah.
How have you written this one?
I've just been kind of sneakily writing it for my patrons over at Patreon. So everything I write for my patrons gets put together in this book.
And are they your beta readers?
They are my beta readers and I love them all. So this book, my wasted review, is about 230 pages. It covers all the matches I watched over the last summer. So that's like the men's T20 World Cup. Remember that?
I don't remember that at all.
Yeah, well, that was there. Lots of matches from there. The India v Pakistan match, all of Australia's matches, the finals, you know, all that stuff. South Africa and West Indies touring Australia, the Women's T20 World Cup, of course.
Relive the entire year here in this
wasted review. And England's tours as well. So if you're not an Australian supporter, you've got England's overseas tours of Pakistan and New Zealand. So if you're a patron of mine, you will get the ebook for free because you've pretty much read it already.
Yeah.
Everybody else, you'll have to pay for it at some point. But the trick is, the trick is, you sign up for my Patreon over at patreon.com/leadcricket. You get the free book, then you cancel straight away. I honestly don't care. Do that. That's fine. You can stick around for a couple of bucks per month and help support the content I create, but that's fine.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the 7-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
When's the short ball coming?
Short ball obviously plays a huge part.
Get yourself to play the short ball. The worst thing to do, play the short ball.
Or you're playing the short ball.
Yeah, we're going to talk about playing the short ball.
All right, so our short ball today, and thanks again to Kevin Peterson for recording that sting for us. Our short ball today is from the final over of the WNCL final between South Australia and Tasmania, which we haven't really, I mean, you've covered a lot of it because you've been commentating on it.
This was an incredible season. Mm. It was more matches than we've had before.
Yep.
All of the women were travelling all around the countryside playing each other. It was a glorious season. I had the fortunate time of commentating on a couple of those matches.
Mm.
Not the final, but the final was spectacularly good, and that's why we've picked one ball.
One ball of the final. So this is, which ball is it?
So it's the fourth ball of the final over, and this is a match where South Australia are batting or chasing, effectively, a total that Tasmania had set.
Yes.
And at the start of this final over, South Australia needed 4 runs with 5 wickets in hand in order to win this match. Three runs to tie.
Yep.
And we were actually hoping for the tie, weren't we?
I think so. Well, I'm always hoping for a tie.
Yeah. But it was better than that.
It was much better than that.
So anyway, this fourth ball, Sarah Coit was bowling. She was a death bowler and 2 wickets had already fallen in the final over. And there was a new batter, Ella Wilson, on strike. She did a straight drive that had, I don't know, enough legs to get to the boundary for sure.
She hammered it pretty hard.
She hammered it. She absolutely drilled it. And that would have, if she'd managed to get this ball to the boundary, it would have won the match for South Australia. Anyway, she drilled the ball back towards Coit, who got a hand to the ball. She knew it was straight. It was very straight. And she ricocheted with a soft touch off her hand onto the stumps at the non-striker's end, running out Wellington.
Yes, it's fantastic.
And this was the third wicket to fall in this over. And that meant that South Australia then needed 3 from 2 balls with their number 9 and their number 10 batters left to do it. And instead of runs, of course, there were 2 more wickets. It's hard to believe.
Yep.
2 more wickets to round out the match. How can you fit 5 wickets into one over?
It almost defies mathematics. It doesn't quite, but almost there.
There is a spare ball there. And they got one run with that.
Yep.
So in the end, Tasmania won the final. It was so improbable.
Mm.
The second consecutive WNCL title.
Yes.
Incredible.
So did Sarah Coit do that run out deliberately or was it just, you know, reflex?
I think it was deliberate.
That did look a little bit deliberate, didn't it?
I mean, what would have happened if she hadn't touched the ball? It was such a ballsy move, right? Like she she could have tried to stop it. She could have, but instead she seemed to just touch it as lightly as possible because she knew it was going straight enough to hit stumps.
It definitely felt like a kind of indoor cricket move where you angle angle your hand just so it rebounds off at the precise angle to crash into the stumps. If she'd missed it, it goes straight down the ground for four. Yeah. I'm not sure either of long on or long off. I'm not sure they even had a long on or a long off at that point,
or whether they would have got to it.
Because it was so straight and so hard that it was four.
Didn't look like she was trying to stop it either. And if she had tried to stop it, it may well have ricocheted somewhere else.
Yeah.
It was incredible. And you're right, it was an indoor cricket move. And I think the commentators at the time called it as such too. So let's presume it was deliberate.
Mm.
Really incredible, because win the match or lose the match right here.
Yep, yeah. And it's a run out at the non-striker's end, which we always love to see. a non-mancad, a post-delivery mancad.
Yeah.
And it's better than a mancad, right?
Better than a mancad. I mean, I think it is better than a mancad. I think when it's deliberate, it's absolutely better than a mancad, even when it's accidental. It
takes more skill, right? Because mancad, you're just hanging onto a ball and knocking the stumps off. This is like you've got to let the ball go, then pick it back up again, essentially, and take the stumps
somehow
off.
In your follow-through, you've got to think all that through.
Yeah.
Quite incredible. And so Coit got player of the match, pretty much just based on this one over.
Was she player of the match?
She was player of the match.
Really?
Yeah.
Good on
her. Yeah, she was. Fair enough. I mean, she also took a catch early on to dismiss one of the openers.
That was a great catch as well. That was drilled straight back at her and she somehow clung onto it. I think at that point we thought, that the Tasmania were home and hosed then, but South Australia came back into it after that catch.
I mean, poor Villani, of course, she got a century. She has been playing for some time and she's probably had her fair share of player of the match.
Yeah.
Coit's been playing for some time as well. It's been almost a decade since she played for Australia. Perhaps it has been a decade.
I think either of these two could have slotted straight into the women's team and done a job in the World Cup final.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, fantastic.
Anyway, I think also perhaps Villani should have been given player of the match just for not wildly pinging down the stumps on the very last ball.
Yeah, so the last ball they needed three to win or two to tie, right?
Yeah, and they'd already run one and they turned around to come back for the second.
Yeah, and Villani wasn't taking any risks of throwing it back. She was just running straight into the stumps as fast as she could.
She ran straight in from, I think, mid-off.
Yes.
So, I mean, is this the greatest over in WNCL history?
It's the greatest over in cricket history. I can't imagine how you can defend four runs off the final over and take five wickets in doing so. She didn't technically take the five wickets, but five wickets fell in that over.
Yeah.
Insane stuff.
And plus, even though one was a run out, it was Coit's run out.
Yes.
So,
well, two were a run out. The last one was also a run out.
Yeah. So do you have to rewrite any of your books as a result of this one over?
Maybe. We'll go back. I'll rewrite all my books at some point.
So let's go through the over.
Yeah.
Okay, so the very first ball, O'Neill was out. She was bowled by Coit.
So they start the over. They need four to win. They're five wickets down.
Yeah.
And both batters are well set. Like
they've
brought South Australia right back into the game. They were behind the run rate, then they were ahead of the run rate, and then there was a big rain delay, and they eventually were so far in front that with these two batters, they were home and hosed.
And if they hadn't come back on after the rain delay, South Australia would have won because they were at least five ahead of the DLS.
Yep.
Anyway, the match restarted. The target was 243 in 47 overs. Mm. There were only three overs lost.
Yep.
South Australia cruising here, and O'Neill just needed to get a couple of singles in this over. Instead, took a wild swing.
Yeah, she wanted to win it in one shot. Right?
Yeah, out, bowled by Coit.
Mm-hmm.
Second ball, Amanda Jade Wellington managed to get a single, that was good.
Well, Wellington knew the situation. She knew it was just singles. That's all they needed. So she was being very sensible.
Yeah.
So that took it down to three to win, right, off the second ball?
That's right. Then that brought Captain Barsby on strike. Mm. And the third ball of the over, she also took a massive wild swing and was out stumped.
Yeah, not only a wild swing advancing down the pitch so she could be out, yes.
Incredible.
So that's two wickets gone, still three runs to win, three wickets left. And that's the fourth ball. This is where we get the run out at the non-striker's end.
Yeah.
Which gets rid of Wellington. Poor old Wellington, the only person with a head screwed on, apparently.
Yeah, the only one who would have possibly just taken some singles. She's out for one. The fifth ball then, and this is still possible, still very possible.
Yeah, all you got to do is get an edge to it. Take a couple of singles, push it through the
covers. We've seen this happen so often that a boundary comes at this point. Or they could have just had a tie and they would have kept playing for the win. The fifth ball, Wilson was out, plum LBW. Mm. She was hit on her back leg by a wonderful delivery from Coit. So Coit knows how to get out. tailenders, yep. And that's what she's expert at. And then the sixth ball, they had to get two runs for the tie.
At least two for the tie, yep.
And they did their job well. I don't know that they ran that well for the second run, but no. Anyway.
Yeah, they hit the ball to Elise Villani there at mid-off, and Anissa Mashangui was on strike. She ran the first one. She turned back for the second. She knew there was no point just taking a single. But I think whoever was at the non-striker's end just kind of
thought,
oh, well, one run's all we're going to get. Instead of, I mean, why not? What have you got to lose by going for it?
Well, I mean, tailenders are not used to these pressure situations and being there. But anyway, that was the most remarkable over. There were a lot of people who went to bed because it was a day-night match.
And there was a lot of rain. So every 15 minutes there was a rain delay and you go, oh God, is this match ever going to end?
Yeah.
And every time there was a rain delay, a different team was ahead. So most of the innings it was Tasmania ahead, but then South Australia had a few big overs and then they got ahead and you'd go off and say, oh my God, who's winning? No, they're coming back again. So it was a very exciting match.
Quite incredible. Definitely worth going and having a look at that replay. If you haven't seen it, I'm sure the replay's been everywhere.
Mm.
Watch the entire final over. Can't bowl, can't throw, coming live. Thanks for tuning in and taking your time. The underappreciated act of the week. The funniest and crazy plays of the week. Who is going to join the honorary board? The number one Scott Moeller reward. All right, here we are in the Moeller Award where we reward excellence or ridiculousness. Excellence and or ridiculousness. What do we reward?
We reward anything that amuses us
anything
in the world of cricket.
Anything that amuses us during the week. And a lot of things have amused us. We've already talked about them. We're
most
not going to
yes.
bring them back up again. So therefore, we only have a couple of nominations here. Yep. And the first one is Elise Perry. And she was playing, I think it was a semi-final, wasn't it, against
yes.
India. Trying their hardest to win. Of course, Australia did win. And she was sprinting around the boundary.
I like that. Of course. Australia did win.
Of course they did win. Spoiler, they won the final, therefore they must have won a semi along the way.
Yeah.
She sprinted around a second last over and just saved your ball from going over the rope by just taking aim at it. I think it had only bounced once, maybe twice, and swatting this ball with her hand like she was playing tennis and stopping it from going over the rope, diving in the process, diving over the rope and landing elegantly. It was incredible.
It was crazy.
She wasn't even in the frame and the ball was right there and they were calling the four and then all of a sudden there's Perry, bang. Yep.
Out of nowhere. So she's probably a world-class handball player as well to go with, you know, the soccer and the cricket and God only knows what else he's good at.
Yep.
Yeah. So technically it did only save two runs. It wasn't the difference between winning and losing, but it did feel very kind of symbolic of, you know, India's not going to get anything past Australia to the boundary. They're a team possessed at this moment. So,
And enjoy it while it lasts, Australia, because India are going to be ahead of you not too many years to come.
Yes.
But anyway, Dan, did you know men play cricket too?
They do, yeah. They do. In the New Zealand v England test, we did have Michael Bracewell. He decided that he was going to emulate Harmanpreet, but he decided to go one worse because not only his bat didn't get caught in the turf sliding, he didn't even bother trying to slide his bat. He was just kind of trotting back, just jogging along very, very casually. Ben Folkes, equally casually, was kind of aware that he was not sliding the bat. So he just kind of coolly was looking away. Oh, I'll just gather this ball. Then as soon as it like hit his glove, he just swung it down and knocked the stumps over like lightning. It was amazing stuff from Ben Folkes. And dopey old Michael Bracewell was run out because his foot and bat were both in the air and he hadn't grounded either of them over the line.
And it was glorious. Yeah. Such a big celebration too from England who knew that he was out instantly.
And New Zealand basically collapsed from that point. And they'd done quite well after that point. But I like to redub him as Michael Brace for a run out decision against you because you haven't grounded your bat very well.
Yes, that's
his new name.
Quite a catchy name there. Yes.
So who gets the Moeller out of those two? Is it Michael Bracewell's idiot non-grounding of the bat or is it at least Perry's superhuman flight?
Oh, we have to give it to Bracewell because Perry does this every second minute.
Yeah, we already knew that Perry was a superhuman. We didn't know that Bracewell was a clown.
Mm.
All right, so congratulations to Bracewell on winning that. And you have been listening to Dan Liebke. That's me. I'm at Lieb Cricket on Twitter. And you've been listening to Kat Jones, who is at Cricket Bat Cat on Twitter. And you can follow us on Can't Bowl Throw on Twitter, or you can like us on Facebook by searching for Can't Bowl, Can't Throw. And we will see you all next week. Can't bowl, can't throw.
Social Podcast Network.